So these 2 weeks, there's a mini series. So I'm doing this mini series on the topic of worship. Worship is such an important topic. This topic, right, actually born out of the, since last year, really sense the Lord speaking to us as a church that we need to go deeper in the Lord. Today, the title, we talk about finding God in worship, encountering His presence. Do you know that it's nothing more important than the presence of God? That is absolutely nothing more important than the presence of God. Because whenever we encounter the presence of God, our life trajectory will change. Think of Moses on the burning bush. He was just strolling around. He thought he was just having a stroll. And then suddenly he saw this burning bush. Long story short, his life trajectory changed. Think about Paul. Paul on the road to Damascus. He was so fervent about persecuting Christians. He thought he was doing God a favor. But then when he encountered the presence of God, his whole life trajectory changed. You see, when we worship God, when we encounter His presence, something will start to change in our lives. I do not know about you, but for me, I need change in my life. Change to be more like Christ. Change to have more of God in my life. So why worship? Why encounter the presence of God? Because we know that when we encounter God, it brings transformation in our lives. We know that it deepens our relationship with God and strengthens our faith. Perhaps some of us here today, you're sitting here, you're seeking, you're asking the question, why? Perhaps there's a void in your heart. Experiencing God's presence can fill you with joy, peace, and this sense of awe. I don't know about you, like just now when we are worshiping, right? In our free worship, when our brother Alan just started singing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. It wasn't planned. But as we start focusing on the presence of God, open our hearts, lift up our arms, and the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit will start flowing. Do you want God flowing in your life? To start moving in your life? When we encounter the presence of God in worship, it provides comfort and hope in times of trials and challenges. When we encounter the presence of God, it will help us to live a victorious life, a life with purpose. When we encounter the presence of God, it brings healing to our brokenness and restoration, which I'll talk more even next week. And through worship, we can also get guidance for our lives. How many of you need guidance in your life? You know, very often, sometimes we keep going and going. We are like, where are we going, God? But do you know that through worship, God will start to realign our lives and say, my son, my daughter, follow me. Follow me. And through worship, God can ignite such a passion. Such a passion for Him. Now, very often we have passion for different things in life, yeah? And there's nothing wrong. Because God gave us a beautiful world to enjoy. Some of us, we love gardening. We enjoy gardening. We have a passion for gardening. Someone has a passion to go to Taylor Swift concert. And any of you bought the Taylor Swift concert ticket? It must be a miracle. But through worship, God says that He will ignite such a passion of God in your life. And then through worship, it's a place where we encounter, where God meets us and transforms us from the inside out. That's the reason why today and next week, we're going to learn more and more about worship. There are two characters I want to talk to you about today when it comes to worship. First is King David. Another is King Saul. You see, worship essentially is a heart attitude that reflects the Word of God in your life. Our worth, our understanding of the worth of God directly impacts the way we worship God. And today, as we talk about the heart of worship, you see, the word worship in the Old Testament very often is translated to the word bow down. Everyone say bow down. Bow down. So in Old Testament, right, whenever this word is being used, worship, very often it's been translated from bow down to worship. There are other words when it comes to the word worship, working, serving. You know, in your work, you worship. We'll talk more about that. To make, to manufacture, to do things can be part of worship too. So these two men that I want to talk to you about is one, King David, one who has a heart of true worship, versus another man, King Saul, who is trapped in false worship, in false worship. Now, the truth is, do you know both men are chosen by God? King David is called a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. What a beautiful thing to be known as a man after God's own heart, isn't it? So we're going to learn today the meaning of true worship and the trap of false worship. Who is ready to learn today? Amen. We're going to do that. And then through that, we're going to learn about the true meaning of worship. The first thing we want to learn from King David when it comes to the heart of true worship is a heart after God. This is the man that is known to pursue God. He says that now your kingdom shall not continue in 1 Samuel 13:14. For the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. This is Prophet Samuel saying to King Saul. God says that I reserve someone. Someone whose heart there is after me. You see, David, even when he was at a very young age, when he was a shepherd boy, when no one knew about him, all his brothers was enjoying their life, but here himself as a shepherd boy looking after the sheep. So there's a hierarchy in the household, yeah? Usually the youngest get the toughest job. How many of you are the youngest in the family? Yeah, I'm the youngest in the family. My oldest brother is 8 years older than me. Then my sister is around 3 years older than me. Very often, I remember when I was young, my parents would ask us to do chores. He would first ask my brother. My brother then would then ask the sister. And the sister would then ask the poor little Kenny. You see, the youngest always get... some of you are thinking, no, actually the youngest gets spoiled the most, yeah? Yes, that's right. The youngest gets spoiled. Meiqi agreed. But King David is different. King David, he got the toughest job. So he was manning his own sheep. I wonder when he was bored, and when he was looking after the sheep, right, what was he doing? The Bible recorded, right? He was worshipping. In fact, he fought off bears. Before he fought Goliath, he develops a heart of worship. He develops a heart of worship. You know, like a compass, David's heart was always pointed toward God. It's like a GPS, you know, his heart is always towards God. Now, it is interesting, it's an interesting fact. King David himself, as recorded in the Bible, he himself is a murderer. He's also an adulterer. He has committed gross sins in his life. Yet, it was also recorded that he is a man after God's own heart. I wonder, what is it about King David? What is it about King David that God likes so much about him? Despite his sin, despite his flaw, but he's just like that man after God's own heart. Now imagine a talented musician playing an instrument with exceptional skill. A bit like what the team is doing today. this musician, his heart is immersed with the music he creates. The melody he produces touches the souls of those who listen, invoking emotions of joy, peace. Now, this musician's heart represents King David's heart after God, that he is deeply connected to the divine source of inspiration. Like the musician, David's heart was heartfelt expression of love and devotion. So what would it look like in our daily life? A man that is after God's own heart. I would say one that who prioritizes God's will in his life. Having a heart after God means seeking His will and aligning our desires with His. We prioritize God's plan over our own. Seeking His guidance in major life decisions, in relationships and career choices. Every major decision, before you make them, you seek God's heart. Very often, the prayer that we pray is the reverse of Jesus' prayer. You see, the prayer of Jesus is not my will, but yours be done, right? In the prayer of Jesus. But very often in our prayer, we say, Lord, let my will be done, not your will. We may not say it up front, but sometimes we kind of. But to prioritize God's will. Another way for us to look at it is to diligently pursue God's presence. You see, a man after God's own heart is marked by a consistent and passionate pursuit of His presence. Just as David sought God in the quietness of the wilderness and through worship, we intentionally carve out time in our prayer to meditate on His word, to worship Him, to hunger and thirst for Him, to seek to know Him intimately and to draw near to Him, knowing that His promise is to be found by those who earnestly seek Him. You know, in Psalm 63, the King David wrote many psalms. One of the psalms he wrote, he says, earnestly, Lord, I seek You. It's that desperation of God's presence. And in Psalm 27, he then says, I'd rather spend time in Your presence of God. If there's only one thing that I can look for, if there's one thing that I pursue, oh God, is the presence of God. You see, a true heart of worship is one who seeks after God, who seeks after His presence. But how about the trap of false worship? If King David's heart is to pursue God, then King Saul is one who is trapped by false worship. And that is the fear of man. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, it then says, Saul said to Samuel, you see, after Samuel confronted Saul, this is what King Saul said, I have sinned. He caught red-handed, right? He said, I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and Your words because I fear the people and obeyed their voice. You see, when confronted with his sins, Saul made excuses and he did not genuinely repent. So in this verse, King Saul admits with disobedience and violation of God's command. His fear of the people's opinions and approval led him to compromise his obedience to God. These confessions reveal Saul's false worship. His actions were not driven by a genuine devotion to God, but by the desire to please the people around him. And this incident makes a critical moment in Saul's life where his heart was exposed and his worship was found lacking due to true sincerity. You know, Saul's heart represents a closed door. unwilling to let God's grace and forgiveness enter, hindering him from encountering God's merciful presence. Saul feared man more than he fears God. Funny enough, he's actually really tall. If anything, he shouldn't be fearing man. God stands above all. But unfortunately, Saul's worship is like a sailboat, adrift without a compass. It lacks direction, it lacks stability, and is swayed by the winds of public opinion. You know, fear of man and disobedience can manifest when we compromise our moral values and conviction to gain acceptance or avoid confrontation. Perhaps it's peer pressure, the fear of rejection, of being left out. Peer pressure does not just happen to the young people, also happen to the not so young people. Do we fear man more than we fear God? And the fear of man can also lead to neglecting God's commands and principles in our daily lives. The heart of true worship, the second point, is authenticity. First, it's a heart for God. Second, it's an authentic heart. It's an authentic heart. It means to be real. Everyone say to be real.
Be real.
We're going to be real. To be real with God. Psalm 103, this one, King David said, right? He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You see, the worship of King David comes from his inner core. It's not just something that is ritualistic, but it's something deep inside his heart. It's not to show people. His worship begins as a young boy when no one was looking, when he's tending his own flock. It was during that time he started to worship God. When no one was looking at him, he was just looking at the flock, when he's casting his eyes as far as above, when he looked above the sky. And then he starts saying, "Who is the Lord who creates the heaven and earth? It is the same God who gives me skill to battle through the lions." Amen. "It is the same God who empowers me to say, although I'm a shepherd boy, but I know that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world." This shepherd boy, he says, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let all that is within me." Whether it's good times or bad times, that during good times, you have exuberant praise. But during not so good times, when he fell, the same man who praised God exuberantly. Now remember, King David danced nakedly. Remember when the Ark of Covenant starts returning back to the house of God, he was so happy. The scripture recorded that he wear very little. And he danced as a king. But during his downtime, when he was confronted by his own brokenness, he penned down this Psalm 51, verse 17. It says, "The sacrifice of God are a broken and a contrite heart. For a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." One of the things that I find very often hinder people from worshiping God, to enter into his presence, is because of our own guilt. A lot of times we feel that we are not worthy. A lot of times we enter into the presence of God, we feel that, you know what? I've not led a holy life this way. I don't deserve to be in God's presence. My dear friends, that this is where the good news of Jesus comes in. You know, when we come to the presence of God, we do not come with our own righteousness, right, but we come with the righteousness of God. Can I get an right. Amen for that? That we are clothed by the righteousness of Christ, and this is the gospel. It means that everything that Christ has done for you is now credited to you. God says that your righteousness and my righteousness, they are like filthy rags. He says, "Don't worry about them, get rid of them. Put on the righteousness of Christ." So as we enter, we are holy and pure and righteous before God. That is not to say that we are not broken. That is not to say we have not sinned. But that is to say that because of the work that Christ has done on the cross, it is enough. When Christ says it is finished, it means to say it is finished.
Amen.
And upon that confidence, as we enter into the presence of God, as we lift our hands and open our hearts, as we enter into a time of worship, we say, God, there's nothing within me that I can offer to you, Lord God, but just my brokenness. But I thank you, God, that you say in your word that the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. That a broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words.
Let's just worship the Lord.
Too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Majesty enthroned.
Lord, we pray that you teach our church how to worship you, Lord God, in spirit and in truth. To worship you, Lord God, from a heart, authentic heart, Lord God, to pour out to you, O God. God is to draw near to Him, that we may know Him, for that is eternal life.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. Hear you say that I'm you. You are my desire. No one else will do. There's no else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Come on, sing it to the Father.
Worship, isn't it? Today's worship service is slightly different. We are weaving in and out of worship and also sharing the word. If I can get you to be seated as I continue our message, I just got one point that I want to share with you. You know, first we talk about King David, a heart for God, right? A heart that pursued him, a heart that prioritized God's will in his life, versus King Saul, whose heart is fear of man. Always wanting to win approval of man. And then here, we have King David, a heart that is authentic before God, pouring out to him. Whether it's up or down, whether it's high or low, he pours out his life towards God, and that is authenticity in his worship. But how about King Saul? How about King Saul? We learn from King Saul that his worship is ritualistic and empty. He has the form, but there is no power. He has the expression, but there's no genuineness in there. In 1 Samuel verse 15, verse 30, Saul replied to Prophet Samuel, and this after Samuel has confronted him. Again, this is what he said in verse 30. I have sinned. See, he confessed again. He said he has sinned. But is that the true repentance? You know what he said? But please honor me. Not honor God. He said, please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. He was afraid that he'll be embarrassed. And then he says, come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. Reading this verse at his surface, you may think that, hey, perhaps King Saul has repented. Perhaps, look at what he said. He wants to return to worship the Lord. But if you were to look through the scripture clearer, that is actually a political statement. He's saying, you know what? I don't want to go back on my own. But Samuel, if you go back with me, I will be honored. Although I sinned, but I'm not going to be that embarrassed. Saul's worship was like a beautiful vase, but with no flowers inside. Outwardly impressive, but lacking the beauty and fragrance of true worship. He's like a talented actor on stage. Absolutely, he's poised. Skillfully portraying various characters, but behind the masks and costumes, the actor conceals their true identity. Their performances may garner applause, but there is a disconnection between the character they play and their real selves. Similarly, King Saul's worship could be compared to be like a performance. He followed the rituals, he had the look, he definitely had the height. But he lacked genuine devotion. His worship was merely a facade, hiding his true heart condition from God and others. How do we know we fall into a robotic and ritualistic worship? Because truth be told, sometimes there's a bit of King Saul in us, isn't it? So how can we tell? You can tell when we start to just go through the motion. We are just going through the motion. During the worship, we're just going through the motion. There is no heartfelt repentance. There's no heartfelt connection with God. You may even be raising your hands and singing, but there's no genuine connection to the meaning behind the words. Another example of a robotic and ritualistic worship is one that we only seek for self-gain, to appear righteous in the eyes of others. But God today is drawing us and say, you know what? I have paid the price so that you may come and worship me in spirit and in truth. You know, the lives of King David and King Saul offer some important lessons in worship. True worship is a heart journey. Heart journey. Guided by devotion, sincerity, authenticity, obedience, and true repentance. Let us strive to be worshippers like King David. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to be like King David. I do not just want to go through the motion of worship. Just go through the worship Sunday after Sunday. So here are some of my questions to you. You may close your eyes as I ask these questions. Are you tired of going through the motion in worship? Feeling like something is missing? Have you been held back by fear, worrying about what others might think during times of worship? Do you long for a deeper and a more intimate relationship with God, where His presence becomes so real and that it will really transform you from the inside out? Are you ready to break free from ritualistic and empty worship and embrace authentic and heartfelt connection with the Lord our God. Just like the woman. When he came to Jesus, he had nothing to offer. By all counts, she's been looked down upon. A sinner, they call her. But yet, she will break the alabaster jar. And that everything that she has, she will come before the Lord. And she will offer unto him. I wonder if there's any one of us today. Say, Lord, I have nothing much to offer you. It's just like that woman. I want to come before you and give all that I have to worship you. I don't want to be like King Saul, God. I don't want to just go through the motion, oh God. I want to be a genuine worshiper who worship you in spirit and in truth.
Like the woman with the alabaster jar, I long to be where you are, broken and spilled out, like the jar my heart, I'm pouring out my love to you. May it be as sweet perfume, like the woman with the alabaster jar, I long to be where you are, broken and spilled out, like the jar my heart, I'm pouring out my love to you. May it be as sweet perfume, draw me closer to you, draw me nearer to your footstool. There I'll spend my days, knowing you, loving you. Draw me closer to you.
Let us all stand.
Draw me closer.
Let's sing this as a love song unto the Lord.
Closer to you, draw me nearer to your footstool, where I'll spend my days, knowing you, loving you. Draw me closer to you.
Draw me closer to you.
Draw me nearer to your footstool. There I'll spend my days, knowing you, loving you. Draw me closer. Draw me closer. Draw me closer. There I'll spend my days, knowing you, loving you. Draw me closer to you.
You know, the Bible says, draw near to God, and that He will draw near to you. Perhaps today, you feel that your tank is empty. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come, all you who are thirsty, Come all you who are hungry, you shall be filled in the presence of God. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What He says, He will do. So God, we come to You, God. Spirit of God, would You come and fill us, O Lord? For we hunger and we thirst for Your presence, O God. So Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, O God. I pray, Father, for the infilling of Your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord Jesus, and that this week, O God, help us to lead a life of worship unto You, Lord God. To know You, Lord God, and to experience You like never before. Change us from the inside out, O God. Because we need You. We need You more than ever before. So may the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always, now, and forever. And the people of God say, amen, amen. Let's give glory to Jesus. Now next week, I'm going to talk about finding God through worship in our brokenness. If you are going through difficult times, or you know people are going through difficult times, you need to invite them. I will share from the Word of God how we can find healing through worship. Now, as always, when the service ends, we never want you to leave empty. For those of us, perhaps you need a time to pray. You come today saying that I need someone to pray for me, or you need someone to pray with me, we are here for you. The prayer team is going to be here to pray with you. Perhaps you want to believe in a breakthrough in your life. We are here to pray with you. Perhaps you're going through a difficult time in your life. You just need someone to be there for you, to pray with you. You can come. Perhaps you want to respond to today's message. You say, God, I really want to draw close to You. This is my commitment to You, God. Perhaps that is you today. You want someone to pray with you. We are here for you. So if God is saying to you, come and pray. Do not hold back, all right? Now, for the rest of you, the Lord bless you and be with you. I'll see you again next week. God bless.
Like the woman with the alabaster jar, I long to be where You are, broken and spilled out. Like the jar, my heart, I'm pouring out my love to You. May it be a sweet perfume. Draw me closer to You. Draw me nearer to Your footstool. There I'll spend my days, knowing You, loving You. Draw me closer to You. Draw me closer to You. Draw me and spilled out like the jar, my heart, I'm poor. my love to you may be as sweet perfume. Draw me closer to you. Draw me nearer to your footstool. There I'll spend my days, knowing you, loving you. Draw me closer, closer. Draw me closer, closer. Draw me closer, closer. There I'll spend my days, knowing you, loving you. Draw me closer, closer. Jesus, come and fill me once again. Lord, I hunger thirst for your